Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Orphan No More podcast. I'm your host, Anita Ogondiga, and today we have something very exciting for you, a word of encouragement for whatever situation that you may be going through. Life's emotional ecosystem does not have to be shattered. We've come to restore hope. Today we will crush the cup of the orphan mentality.
And I'm here to introduce to you the publisher of this worldwide on-demand podcast, the one and only Danida Ogondiga. Welcome back.
Thanks, Darcy. Hey, everybody. How you doing? We missed you all. Glad to be back.
So tell me, what is Orphan No More?
You know, Darcy, I'm really happy to be back, as I said, and I really think more so now than ever. Now is the time to continue to talk about and encourage others about breaking the spirit of the orphan mentality. Did you know about 143 million children, adults, persons that are in the world right now are orphans? About 143 million people in the world right now are orphans, meaning that they don't have at least one parent. And of that, there are about 16.2 million persons in the world that are what we call doubly orphaned, as myself, meaning that we had lost both of our parents at some point in our lives.
Okay.
And, you know, just in terms of just further research, every 15 seconds, another child in this world becomes orphaned. That can be due to car accidents, sickness, HIV, AIDS, all other kinds of diseases or whatever the case may be. But the point is, someone is put in a situation where they are without a parent or parents. And I think, you know, even though those are the stats as they may be presented, Orphan No More really deals with the mindset that is created when someone, be it a child, in my case, when I was at the age of 21, both of my parents have passed away, are faced with a situation where you're separated from the natural physical love of your parents, and you develop this mindset where you feel separated. You just feel cut off and just severed from the love of your parents, and therefore it makes you hard to receive anyone's love, much less the love of God.
Wow.
And I really think, you know, more so now than ever, there is a deception going on in the land where the plan of the enemy is really attacking persons, and not only persons, but family. How can anyone ever experience God's love if they don't have the love of family?
That's right.
And a lot of people, you know, that I've been in contact with over the last couple of years, you know, are having problems with their siblings. They're having problems communicating with their family members and friends. They find themselves becoming really introverted. They find themselves, you know, once a lesbian or once a homosexual and breaking away from that and not knowing how to go, and they revert back to those same behaviors. I know in my case, you know, when I lost both of my parents, I had gone to the extreme left, and it took me really having the support of my family to bring me back, and more importantly, the love of God.
Wow.
Jeremiah 1:5 really talks about, you know, before we were formed in our parents' womb, our mother's womb, we were approved, and God had already loved us and called us and appointed us to fulfill the will of God for our lives. But a lot of us are separated from that because we have not yet received the spirit of adoption. Even though we don't have that physical love of our parents, we have, and we have always had, the spirit of adoption of God's love for us. And I think, you know, as I said, we're having a hard time in the land of accepting that.
Thank you so much for all this information, Danida. But I mean, I would like to know, and also the audience, what about your background as a professional organizer? And you're a poet, a social worker, and all this kind of stuff. How all this background and all this knowledge fit into the will of God for your life, and now to have a voice for the orphan mentality and to back it up through a solution according to the Bible and the Word of God, and to use it in a practical way to help people, to help at least the everyday person on the street to understand about the orphan mentality?
You know, a lot of times when we go through life, we don't really understand why we are doing the things that we are doing. And if you would have told me, you know, since growing up and you know, losing my dad and going to college with my mom at home, you know, going through breast cancer, you know, I started a poetry reading on campus at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And, you know, it lasted for a couple of years. We were meeting every week and, you know, people getting up on the stage and doing their poetry because there had been a surge of suicides on campus. And I, you know, told this story once before, but just for those persons that have not heard, you know, we had that Just Right Entertainment, you know, to really be a collector for people to come and express themselves, really, because I was having a hard time expressing myself at the you know, having just lost my father. So people would come out, and my mom would always tell me, you know, at my 21st birthday party, I was able to get a journal for my brother and sister. And my mom, you know, she took me back to our house and she told me, you know, you can write everything that you want to write, but at some point you're going to need to communicate. You're going to need to tell somebody. So, you know, a lot of times in life, we don't know why we are doing things, but it's all for the good of our calling. And it's all for the glory of God. Years later, you know, in the city of Pittsburgh, in the Hill District community, a lot of the residents in the community were dealing with a lot of root shock issues. The community had had a population decline of over 55%, and a lot of the homes were being taken by eminent domain because other plans were being made by the community. So as a social worker and as a community practitioner and as a social work professor as well, I had the opportunity to work with quite a few people that were dealing with a whole bunch of mental health, social issues, dealing with a lot of perversion, a lot of pornography, a lot of alcoholic issues, and a lot of family relationship abusive issues. And, you know, all those things at that time, you know, I had no clue that was preparing me for this orphan mentality. But it did show me that a lot of the separation that families were experiencing was due to, you know, certain systemic issues that they had been dealing with that was generational. A lot of people living in housing projects and on government assistance and feeling that they needed to stay that way and to stay in that mindset and not progress towards self-sufficiency. All those things had led to, you know, just like me asking the question, why? You know, why are we dealing with this root shock in ways we needed to deal with the root shock, because a lot of our roots were rotten and a lot of our roots were based on not self-sufficiency, but just dependency on the government or dependency on our situations. And that kind of lagged us down. So, you know, as I said, you know, that kind of just led to, you know, different avenues of just experiencing, you know, different careers. And as I said, they were all a part of my growth and my development for God to really let me know that He was calling me to speak about this orphan mentality. And as I said, a lot of us are going to our high powered jobs. We're on Facebook and we're writing all of our, you know, what's on our mind comments about, you know, what's fulfilling us in our daily lives and stuff. And the fact of the matter is we're empty. We are empty. We are buying the finest Gucci bags and we're buying the finest Aqua watches and things like that. But we are empty on the inside. We're wanting to put on a facade for people and to let people know that we got it all together. But the fact of the matter is we don't. We go home to an empty house. We go to California Pizza Kitchen and feed our faces. We go to the bathroom and throw those things up. We go and let this, you know, person that we need desperately to stay in our lives talk to us any kind of way. You know, we find ourselves, you know, wanting to receive a relationship and love so much that we look to our best friends who are of the same sex to give us that feeling. You know, we go, you know, behind the corner in the booth in the back and turn on our computers and log on to sites and things like that and just do unnatural things with ourselves and to ourselves, cutting and, you know, all these things, meth and all these things. So God is just leading us to really connect with His love and let us know that He's always been there. He is the source. He is our promise. He is our stability and He is our strength.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm just with no words what you just said. So so on time and so direct. And
you know what? Another thing, Darcy. Okay. Just from my situation. And I'm definitely not excusing the fact that we should ignore counseling, you know, because those things are good to have, especially if you find yourself, you know, as I was with having lost both parents. But I will say this. I went through several years of grief counseling so that I could come to my senses, so to speak. And I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And a lot of times, as I said before, one of the plans of the enemy is, even if we did have a good relationship, as I have with our parents, with your parents, the enemy could, through that post-traumatic stress or whatever anxiety or whatever the case, cause you to forget that goodness that you had with your parents, and also make you forget that which could also lead to a connection to your relationship with God. And I say that because my parents were both ministers and they really had a deep love for God. And I knew that. And I vicariously, a lot of times growing up, lived my relationship and my walk with God through my parents, so that when they passed away, my relationship with God almost died. And I went, you know, I didn't go out to the streets and solicit myself or anything, but I cut my hair off. I got everything that I could possibly get pierced. I got tattoos. I resorted to smoking weed, and I wanted to just become and emulate my life like Bob Marley. Thank God he restored my lungs and everything. But I got to a point where I had allowed, you know, the enemy to come in and just create almost dementia in my mind, to the point where I just forgot everything about my parents and their relationship with God. And that made me forget my relationship with God, or even wanting to have one with him. And as I said before, the deception of the enemy is, if we don't experience the love from our family, how are we going to experience the love of God? And we will put that will put us on a quest to finding love in all the wrong places. With men, with women, it will give us that opportunity to find love in all the wrong places. And that's simply a path that we don't need to be on.
Whew. Wow. Danita, that was so good. That was great. That was great, 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 great. I took my notes, some notes myself. But you've been, you know, away from a brief break, from Orphan No More. What you've been up to? I know that you have a blog and some different media outlets. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Well, a great amount of the time that I've been away, you know, we had a beautiful baby girl, everybody, and she's 13 months. Her name is Talma Marie Ogondiga, and she is absolutely adorable. She has completely changed our lives, and she brings us so much joy. At the same time, through that very hormonal experience of being a mom and being pregnant, you know, my identity shifted. You know, there was an adjustment that needed to be made in my relationship with, you know, my husband, and my relationship with myself, and my relationship, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a encourager of the gospel. And so we've pretty much been, you know, with Orphan No More podcast, diversifying our media outlets. You know, the Orphan No More podcast was very successful, and we're believing God that we can continue to expand it in many more countries. Right now, we're in over 100 countries, and, you know, I know that's a significant impact, but we still have more and more people to touch. We have more and more people to touch that are not speaking the English language. We need to get this message out in the Francophone language, and we need to be able to, you know, to get it out in Espanol and all the other peoples, and Turks and Caicos all over the world, Chinese, so that people everywhere can experience the love of God. Because all of this 143 million people, they don't speak English. They need to know in their language the love of God. And my heart is that I want to build an infrastructure of the love of God in people, and let them know that this orphan mentality needs to be crushed, and that God loves them. You know, we started a blog, orphannomore.blogspot.com. And, you know, we're basically transcribing all of the information that we're doing on the podcast on the blog. For those persons that are not able to, you know, to pull up the podcast, they can look at the blog and read that. Of course, we're on Facebook, or for No More Podcasts, and you can always reach us on iTunes. We're going to be definitely coming out with the book shortly, as well as on the speaker circuit. We had the pleasure of being able to go down to North Carolina to a couple of family reunions a couple of months ago, and being able to just share that love for family, and that reconnection and that reunification for family with several of our family members. And we really thank God for that opportunity. But again, you know, as I said, being a mother is an adjustment, but I'm so grateful for that opportunity, for God enlarging my territory and giving me the blessed high calling of being a mom.
Okay, Danita, you got it going on. And I mean, with everything you said in this wonderful interview, I want to close up with this. You know, I heard, you know, before said, like, the truth will set you free. And I know we have a wonderful teaching in our church, but all our audience, they are not maybe able to attend our church. And maybe if they were there and they didn't pay attention to what our man of God was saying. But can you break it down for our audience when people said, like, the truth will set you free?
Well, yeah, you know, like John 8, okay. I think it's 31 and 32. Okay. I mean, it's a scripture that saved people, sinning people, whoever, business people, whomever use this scripture. And they say, you know, if you keep my words, you know, you'll know my truth. And you know, the truth will set you free. And a lot of them just leave off the first part and just say, you know, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Okay.
And I liken that to a car driving down the road. And you're thinking you're seeing this yellow sign that has a straight arrow. You're thinking, okay, wow, you know, it's a straight road. So, you know, I know the truth. So I'm just going to stop there because I know it's a straight. I know it's a straight road. But as we get down that road, we see that it starts curving and the signs start, you know, turning from a straight arrow to a curved arrow. And we start saying, okay, wow, why am I having to slow down? Why am I having to do all these twists and turns? You're having to do all those twists and turns because you need to continue in the truth in order for the truth to set you free. And a lot of us, you know, that are overweight, that know the truth, we sit, you know, with our Weight Watchers packet on our table and we look at it. We can continue in the truth. You know, you have the person smoking weed that knows the effects of smoking weed. You know, the person that's deep in debt that looks, you know, at the credit cards and the shopping sale papers and everything, but they don't continue in the truth. So they are never free. It's almost as if you are in a jail cell, sitting in the jail cell with the door wide open. You're continuing in the truth, but we're not experiencing the freedom. And God came to set us free. He came to loose the bonds from our neck. He came to unloose the yokes from around our necks. Real life does strike back. And we have to be prepared when we deal with real life, and we need to be able to adjust ourselves the truth and continue in the truth so that we can experience the freedom of God's love.
Okay, wow. So you want to tell me that even if you know the truth, the power of the truth is not powerful until you put in practice what you know.
There's a scripture that says that the word of God is active, it's living, it's effective, it's full of power.
Come on now.
And, you know, you really can't have that word be full of power and activated in you unless you meditate on it, unless you continue it until it becomes real in you. Anyone can just get a word from the pulpit and just hear the word and just say, okay, I'm going to, you know, just take my notes and just open my Bible when I get home and just lay everything out. And it's going to just bam happen. No, you got to pick that Bible up. You got to get your highlighter. You got to get, you know, dog ears, those Bible pages, dog ear, those notes, you know, go in and reread those scriptures and meditate and mull over those scriptures until they become real in you. And that was something, you know, extremely difficult for me to do, you know, at one point in my life. And I, you know, I wasn't getting results and I was just wondering, okay, why am I not experiencing results when I know before that, you know, I went through a process similar to this. And I know that, you know, reading and meditating on the word, you know, would bring me results. But I felt this past time that I could do it by just, you know, having the notes on my table and just thinking that they would, I guess, kinetically just come within my mind. But it doesn't work like that. God does not exist in a genie bottle. I mean, he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's, you know, a bottle can't contain the love of God. And we can't expect, you know, truth to just contain itself on the paper. We have to get in and like you said, get in where we fit in and get this word on the inside of us. And there we will find truth. There we will find, you know, the ability to gain our identity and ultimately find stability in God's word.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, Danida, thank you so much for this great interview. It was an honor for me to talk to you. Even if I'm your husband, I'm still here and, you know, taking notes what you're saying, because I can recognize the wisdom in your life. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody. We are going to see you soon.
Thank you, everybody. I love you, and I will see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Orphan No More podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed your stay with us. For more information about the Orphan No More podcast, speaking engagements, products, and Danida Ogandica's speaking schedule, please feel free to contact us at orphannomoreinfo@yahoo.com or visit us at orphannomore.blogspot.com, or you can always visit us on Facebook. Thank you, we love you, and God bless.